Well, happy Labor Day, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. It's a Labor Day special edition of Basic Gospel, thus the phone lines are not open for today's broadcast. Labor Day is, of course, the first Monday in September every year and is dedicated to the social and economic achievements of the American worker. It constitutes a yearly national tribute to the contributions workers have made to the strength, prosperity, and well-being of our country. So, to all American workers, here's to you. At Basic Gospel, we hope you're enjoying the holiday and are doing something special with your family and friends. For today, we've gone back into the archive to identify some of the most interesting calls and emailed questions of the past year. We hope you hear something that is meaningful and beneficial to you. Let's get started.
Yes, I heard you talking about Jeremiah 31:31 and the New Covenant. So I was wondering how far you might take your understanding of God's mercy and forgiveness to someone who might be and is actually in a different religion, even Buddhism or whatever, and doesn't believe the Christian story as preached by the Christian church.
It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And how do we answer that? What do we say? And I think the operative word, especially in the New Testament, operative phrase is this: in Christ.
In Christ.
Are you in Christ? So life is offered through the gospel, and it's offered to all.
Yes.
I mean, that this gospel message is going around the world. It's circling the world day in and day out, and it's reaching out to people. And it's making the offer to anyone and everyone to receive life, to receive Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, you receive life. So all these promises of the new covenant are true in Christ. If you're outside of Christ, you're outside of the new covenant, aren't you? Mm-hmm. Now, the new covenant has an invitation, come and be
Absolutely.
A part. But the only way to come and be a part is by grace through faith in Jesus. There's no other way to be made a partaker of this new covenant and to be declared a child of God and be given this eternal inheritance. So the operative word is in Christ. So you say to your Buddhist friend, or you say to whatever friend it may be, whatever religious persuasion they come from, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, and he has delivered to us that message of reconciliation, that God was in Christ, and through his shed blood, he's no longer counting your sins against you. So you have absolute freedom to come and participate,
yes.
But you do it on God's terms, not yours. Mm-hmm. And God's terms are by grace through faith in Jesus. There is no other way. Now, many folks think that's exclusive, but it's not. It's exclusive in the sense that Jesus is the only one that can give us life. There's no other place that we can find eternal life,
correct.
Only in Jesus. This life is in the Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And when we receive Jesus, we receive all the benefits that he has provided for us through this new covenant: reconciliation, redemption, righteousness, forgiveness. All of those things become ours when we are included in Christ Jesus. And that is by grace through faith in Jesus.
Richard, thank you for your call and your question. We hope that's a help to you as well.
Let's go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. My question today is, if God will accomplish his will with or without us, then what's the importance of us participating? Let me add some context to give you a better idea of why I'm asking this. So, as I've shared with you guys before, I go really hard on myself when I make mistakes. Like yesterday, for example, I was giving a speech, and afterwards I realized something that I didn't even think to say, that if I had said it, it might have been helpful. And then my mind goes, well, in order for me to have a positive value by the things that I do that are good, then there must be a negative value if I don't do them. Like, there has to be pressure. I have to feel important. I have to feel necessary. And I was asking God about this. And the truth that I know from the Bible is that God works in all things for the good of those who love him, even if I screw up. And then my flesh is like, but that's too easy. There has to be some pressure. There has to be some consequences if I don't do it. Otherwise, why don't I just sit at home and do nothing? So my question is, obviously, we don't do good works to be saved, but where do they fall into this gospel message? Where do they fall within the scope of the purpose that God has for us?
Great question, Chris. And I think it gets down to the very essence of the gospel. Christ came into this world that we might have life and have it to the full. And I think as we participate and share in the very life of Christ through faith, then we get to experience that life to the full. So, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Those are the things that we would like to have in life. Those are things that we can't have just through human effort. We can't make those things happen. Jesus is the source of that. So when we participate with him, we get to see those in abundance in our lives. We get to experience those things to the full. And I think that's the benefit. You know, I want to be able to go through life with a sense of peace, with a sense of contentment. I don't want to be stressed out and trying to make a name for myself or trying to do this. I want to have a sense of peace and contentment in Christ. So participating through faith is what gives that contentment to me. And that contentment grows and starts to fill all those spaces within my soul. I want to be joyful, and I want that joy to be my strength through thick and thin. As trials and tribulations come my way, I want the joy of the Lord to power me through those things. And so how do I get the joy of the Lord? Well, it's there because Christ is living in me. And I get to experience that as I walk by faith in him. So we just get to participate in the divine nature, as Peter put it in his first letter, and that's pretty cool. I think that's pretty awesome and amazing. It's much better than what we can participate in as far as the world is concerned. So as we participate through faith, and that's what this life is all about, by grace through faith in Jesus, we're going to see this life start filling up and overflowing in our lives into the lives of others. And that's the greatest reward of all. That's the greatest benefit of all. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. And actually, I had suspected, too, that the reason why God still has us participate, even if he's going to do stuff himself, is because it allows us to come to know him better. And like you said, that's where our life comes from. It's not from our activities, although they're good to do. And I suspect that at the root of this is a misunderstanding of where my value comes from, because I like to look to my actions. I like to feel important. But what happens when I fail? That means my value goes down like the stock market. And so I just need to keep my eyes on Jesus. It's just so counterintuitive sometimes, because it just goes against everything that I think sometimes as far as like my purpose and value go. So, but yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
Yeah. It's like this, Chris. God created us in his image. And so that all changed when sin entered into the world. That image got all tarnished and messed up, and we didn't reflect that image back to the world. But now in Christ, that vocation has been restored to us. So because Christ lives in you, Chris, you're an image bearer. So as you go through your day-to-day life, you're reflecting the image of God through faith in Jesus to a lost and dying world. That's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you do that at your workplace. You do that in your home life. You do that in your church life. You do that wherever you are, because Christ is alive living in you. And as you walk by faith in him, then that image is being reflected out there to the world. Now, you may not know, you may not be able to quantify how that is happening and how it's impacting people. And if you tried that, you would probably miss the mark and saying, hey, this is what really made a difference over here. But the fact of the matter is you are an image bearer. You're a witness. You don't have to go out witnessing. You don't have to go out and try to reflect. Simply walking by faith, that image is being projected out there. And so people are getting to see what Christ is like because you're choosing to walk by faith in him.
That is actually, I just realized something as you were talking. It gives me a reason to take delight in Jesus's living in through me. And if I keep my eyes on that, see, you're exactly right. It's like when I try to say, oh, if I had done this and I would have been more helpful, but because I didn't, then people aren't being helped as much as they would have. That is not keeping my eyes on Jesus's life in and through me. If I keep my eyes on Jesus, then I can trust him to do what's most beneficial. He's going to live his life in and through me the best way that he can, the best way that's even possible. So that was great. I really appreciate your advice. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for always proclaiming how the good news of the gospel is so real and practical and how it fits so perfectly into our struggles. And thanks for making yourselves so available. I appreciate you guys. Love you guys. Thank you for everything you do. Well, and you have a great rest of your day.
Well, you do as
thanks,
well,
Chris.
Thanks nice. For your call. You always ask great questions, and we sure appreciate it. Richard, we had an interesting question that came
yes.
in to us via email.
Yes, we did. From Vernon, who listens to us on our app, our smartphone app. So thank you, Vernon. Thank you so much for what you guys do. Explaining the new covenant of grace has changed my life. Thank you again for being there to renew my mind daily, because left to its own devices, I'm in trouble. My question has to do with the Holy Spirit, the focus being that the cycle we are led into when we are told not to grieve him. This cycle is often described as, we receive the Spirit at salvation, but when we mess up in sin, we grieve the Spirit. Then when we repent, then Jesus will love us again and can operate in our lives. This just seems wrong to me. I feel Jesus is not limited to loving me or blessing me because of my behavior. Could you please speak on this subject of grieving the Holy Spirit in context so I may begin to grasp this subject in light of the new covenant?
I think that's a wonderful question.
And it fits right in with what we've been talking
yes,
about.
Yes, indeed. And the idea of grieving the Holy Spirit of God is found in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And this is in a section that in my Bible, the heading for this section is Instructions for Christian Living. And so he's making a contrast initially between what life was for the Gentiles, those who were in darkness, separated from the life of God. And he says, you didn't learn Christ that way. Put off that old, put on the new.
Yes.
So that's the bottom line.
Yeah, we're alive now because of chapter 2.
That's right.
And what Jesus accomplished. So put that on. Put off the old, put on the new.
Right. So now that we put on the new, that life looks different than what that old life looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes through a series of contrasts. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. So right there is the context. Christian living takes place within community. You know, if I'm going to love, I have to have somebody to love. If I'm going to speak truth to somebody, there has to be somebody to speak truth
yes.
to. You know, I don't usually lie to somebody else.
Yeah.
And he's saying, hey, let's change that. Put off the old, put on the new, and start speaking truth. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer. And you steal from somebody, don't you?
Yes.
You may go into a store and steal something from a store, but you're stealing from somebody.
Yes.
The people who own that store. So you're taking from another person. So instead of that, go to work and do something useful with your hands, that you may have something to share with those in need.
Yeah.
So he's just turning the old way of life upside down.
Yes.
And saying, hey, let's look at it from God's vantage point. Let's start thinking about others more highly than ourselves. And when we do, we're going to speak truth. We're not going to steal from them. We're actually going to work and take our resources and share to benefit others. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So this grieving of the Holy Spirit is in the context of how we deal with one another. So if you've done something wrong to me, Richard, and this is just hypothetical.
I've never done anything wrong to Bob, rest assured.
So the Holy Spirit is going to be saying to me, forgive Richard as God in Christ has forgiven me. When I choose not to forgive as God in Christ has forgiven me, I am grieving, quenching, kind of squashing what the Holy Spirit is working inside of me. And, you know, that's going to, the Holy Spirit is never going to stop moving me to forgive as God has forgiven me until I step out. That's just the way this thing works. So it's grieving the Holy Spirit is in context of our relationships one to another. The Holy Spirit wants us to be unified, wants us to show love to one another. And it grieves him when we're at odds with one another.
Yes.
Just like a parent watching their kids. When the kids are at odds with one another, that's a grievous moment for the parent.
Yeah.
What does the parent want more than anything? For those kids to get along. It does a parent's heart good when their kids are getting along one with another. And that's what this is all about.
Yeah. When you look at this, you realize that verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, most people end there. But Paul continues, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Paul never says here that the Holy Spirit's going to unseal you and leave.
Right.
You've been sealed for redemption. You are saved, absolutely saved. Now you get to deal with the Holy Spirit straight up every day, whether you listen or not.
Yes.
And he's going to keep coming back and say, you need to forgive me. You need
right.
to forgive me. Hey, Richard, you need to forgive that person or whatever the issue is. Being saved is giving God permission to interfere with you 24/7.
Yes.
And
yes,
he does.
Yes.
And you're always better off if you listen.
Right. And he's constantly at work to will and to do of
yes.
his good pleasure. That's what God is about in us.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're thinking about the things of the world, we're letting our own fleshly desires kind of rule the roost in a certain situation. That's when we're not listening to the Holy Spirit, and it grieves his heart when we don't. And why? Because it's to our benefit. That's the whole deal. When we learn to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us, it's to our benefit, and it's to the benefit of that other person.
Yes.
So there's all kinds of great things that
yes.
happen when we really trust the Spirit to do his work
uh-huh.
in and through us. So that's what this is all about. So, Vernon, we certainly appreciate
yes.
your great question. Well, let's go to Paul, who's listening to us on the Word right here in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay.
Well, excellent. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was raised a Christian, and I, you know, turned away from faith for some time, and I've recently been reintroduced to it, and I'm renewed with this vigor now, but I have this final step, which is I don't know how to truly accept and truly believe that Jesus died for our sins, and I'm trying to reconcile as I'm re-entering this world of faith and trying to embrace this newfound belief. How do I actually surrender myself, and how do I pray so that I can truly believe it in my heart?
Well, Paul, that's a great question, yeah. And I'm so
well
grateful
put.
You called today. I think this is going to be a very helpful conversation for all of our listeners across the country. So thank you so much. So tell me a little bit about your story. You said you kind of grew up in the church, kind of knowing a little bit about the gospel, and then you kind of went your merry way, and now those questions of faith are coming back. Is that right?
That's right. My father told me when I was young, probably around 10 years old, that faith was a personal decision, and that he didn't want to sway my course because he came to believe in God through his journey. Very recently, I've just been reintroduced to faith and again began attending church and really grown excited about what I've been learning and something I've been familiar with but really haven't known in my life.
Okay. So what exactly has inspired you or has captured your attention?
Well, to tell you the truth, I've met someone very special who is very firm in her faith, and I don't think that she's the cause for necessarily my newfound faith, but she's a catalyst. And I honestly think that she was a message to kind of pull me towards something that I've been longing for and been trying to search for some time.
Okay. Well, that's great. And,
yeah.
You know, somebody special like that in your life, and if they're firm in their faith, it really just makes you start to question your own belief system. So I think that's fantastic. Well, Paul, let me just briefly tell you the gospel story. You know, Paul explained it best, I think, or gave the clearest and most concise summary of the gospel message in his letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, and he says, you know, I want to pass on what has been passed on to me, and I want to tell you about this gospel that saves, the gospel on which you can take your stand. And it's very simply that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that Christ was buried, and that on the third day Christ was raised to life according to the scriptures. So that is the good news of the gospel. And what that means to you, Paul, is that because of his death, he has taken away your sins once and for all, and he no longer counts your sins against you. So you have this litany of sins, this list, and God doesn't count those against you. And he doesn't count those against you because of the blood of Christ. And then that opened the door for the divine action, and that divine action is to make you alive together with Christ, to raise you up spiritually, just as God raised Christ from the dead physically. So that's the benefit of the gospel to you: forgiveness of sins, total, complete forgiveness of sins, and new life in Jesus. See, Paul, you not only were a sinner in need of forgiveness, but you were dead spiritually and in need of life. And so when you receive Christ, you receive his life into yours. And so you become brand new. That's what the gospel message is all about. And I'm going to have to put you on hold. We're almost out of time, but I want to continue this conversation.
Yeah, please,
can
hold.
Can you hang with me just for a few minutes?
Indeed.
Okay. Well, this is basic gospel. I just am so grateful for Paul's call today,
yes.
And I know many people are very interested in hearing the outcome of it. We'll certainly talk about that on
yes.
tomorrow's broadcast. But thank you to all those who support Basic Gospel. We certainly appreciate your prayers and gifts. You can also find out more about Basic Gospel by visiting youtube.com/Basic Gospel. Join us at our YouTube channel. We'd love to see you there. Well, we'll see you tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel.